Okay, is everybody back?
Yep.
Okay, so are there any announcements?
We had a great summer institute. This is Kristen, last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Super.
Yeah. Yep.
How many people were involved?
We had, involved is different than, we had 75 teachers and probably about 20 speakers of some sort involved or providers, so a lot of people in and out. And it went really well.
So what is the framework of a summer institute? What is it actually at the high level? What does it involve?
We've boiled it down to a 3-day framework, like a 3-day schedule. Usually the first day we highlight more the content end of things. So we offer sessions and speakers that are focused on different aspects of climate change science, climate change policy, in local and global context. So we had some speakers on ecosystem feedback, some U of M researchers doing research in northern Minnesota forests, policy experts talking about climate policy, things like that. Second day focuses more on resources, so what resources exist to help you implement the content and bring it back to your setting. So we had
do they get to try some of these or
Yep, mm-hmm. So they get to choose, and they choose ahead of time. We actually offered this year five different strands, so that were aligned with either curricular resources that we offer or NACHI. So we had a full-day NACHI workshop on Tuesday for the interpreter crowd.
And then we had
the NACHI or NOKI, the National Network of There was a full day NOKI workshop that day for interpreters, and then there was the other strands were our Minnesota's Changing Climate curricular resource, our Citizen Climate, which is more policy, our more elementary focused resource, and our energy resource. So they actually were given the curricula, they did activities from it, and then they, in the afternoon, were able to go a little bit into a deep dive sort of field session that really gave them some hands-on stuff. So the resources that were more focused on natural resources, getting outside, were outside doing observations, doing some like testing of soil and water, and talking about how over a year you might be able to do this sort of work with your classroom. The energy strand was doing energy audits of the school, talking about how do you engage your students, engage your facility, and doing that sort of improvements. The policy group did the Juliet's climate simulation, and talked about how you implement that. So it was really looking more at resources. And then the last day was, and then that evening there was an evening forum. Ben Santer spoke, who's an IPCC author. Frank actually did the opening, and then we had three speakers doing focusing on solutions from a policy and urban heat island. I'm trying to remember the different ones. And then the third day is focused on what's next. So what are resources, what's your plan of action? So we had some sessions on financing for doing energy in your schools. Locally, our National Park Service and this Friends Our Organization, and we're able to offer field trips in the fall for students to go to the Mississippi River and learn about climate change impacts on the river. I'm trying to think what the other ones are. And then we're bringing that information about the delegation of teachers that we're bringing to COP, to Paris, so how to engage with that. So they were all sort of highlighting those resources.
That's so cool. You're bringing teachers there. Wow.
Yeah. And
you're bringing about 20 teachers, is that right?
We're bringing 10 teachers. We don't know what our quota will be for an unknown amount of time, but it seems like actually it could be in the next couple of weeks. but we've told teachers that regardless of if they can actually get into the official proceedings, the other activities that happen there are just as valuable and interesting, and so there'll be some, we're assuming some of the teachers will actually have a badge and go in, and some of the teachers will be participating more in the other side events that happen put on. And then each day we'll debrief, you know, what each person, you know, does. And then they'll be Skyping back to, each of them will Skype back to their classrooms at least once during the week, and they'll be writing blogs during the week each day. And then there's a possibility that we are bringing, we're offering this to some, we had some higher ed teachers apply as well. We really just focused on K-12. It's mostly, I think it's 6-12 is what we ended up with, but classroom teachers that were in classrooms around the country that were doing this. But we had a lot of higher ed applicants too, so we offered it to a few of them to be able to go the first week, because this is, we're only taking teachers the second week, if we have enough space when we find out our quota to do that, and we wouldn't be facilitating that experience
who,
for them.
Who defines the quota? Is
the
it a financial
UN.
Constraint of the UN?
Nope,
so they
the
decide
UN.
How many.
Yeah.
So
you submit
all,
so Monday. Yeah, so Monday, this Monday, we yesterday, you submit all the names that you could possibly want to bring, and then I'm assuming they look at whatever, and that's the deadline. There's, we can't put any other names in. And then I'm assuming they look at what people are saying and they figure out what are people's quotas. Over the years, it's really changed dramatically. As I understand it, the first couple of years there was no quota. And then there was, you know, it was 10 and then it went down to 6. And like our teacher, the high school teacher we work with who's bringing students, he had 4 last year. So, but 4 each week. So technically it could be 8, you know, if you did 2 weeks.
So we
don't know. We know Paris is much larger. Lima, you know, is really small, and Paris is a much larger venue, and but there's a lot more people that want to go, I'm sure.
How did you decide to bring the teachers the second week?
Because that's when more stuff happens. That's when everyone comes the second week. That's when the major decisions are made. What's that? Well, I'm just learning all about this. I'm no expert, but they just start talking. They start coming in. All the heads of state come the second week. So, I mean, as I've been told, this is kind of like, if you think of NSTA or AGU, and you multiply it times like 15 or 20, and then there's sessions upon sessions and strands upon strands. And so those all happen the first week too, you know, focused on every single topic related that you could think of. So I'm assuming it's the topics that maybe they don't think heads of state would be
After you do this, I think that it would be great if maybe in January or February after it's over, if some subset of your teachers could give a presentation on our call and sort of,
How fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Experience, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be really great.
So, let's go ahead and schedule one. I don't know. Obviously, it would depend on the teacher's schedules also. But if you can think of a time in which it would be easy to sort of find out who could potentially do that, that would be great.
Yeah, I will. I'll add that. I mean, these are obviously those teachers that would be all over doing something like that because they're...
Right.
So I'm sure that I could find at least 3 even that we're excited to. Yeah.
All right, great.
So, hey, Kristen, this is Linda. If you don't mind, when those blog posts start rolling out, would you mind just making sure that we know about it at NCSE because we'll promote it and we have a whole teacher network that I think would be really interested in what's going on there. So
yeah, absolutely.
That'd be
super.
We'll do it. Obviously, put it through the Clean Network, too.
Yeah.
Oh, we will, yeah. I mean, we'll be putting up a page in a couple of weeks that introduces, we're calling them our education ambassadors, that introduces them. And a lot of them, this is a real financial stretch, so they're putting up GoFundMe pages. And so we're hoping to kind of promote that outwardly, too, so people know that they're looking for funding. Because unfortunately, at this point, we don't have, if we get a big donor, that'd be awesome, but we don't have funding even for our staff. We're getting it more from their fee their little tiny fee. So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Kristen.
Yeah.
Other announcements?
Not right now.
I want to let everybody know that we have one climate literacy session for GSA. So abstracts have been open actually for a while, but the deadline there, I think, is August 11th. It's one session that encompasses activities and research and evaluate anything that's related to climate literacy will fit in that session. And then we have our AGU sessions, and we have 11 sessions plus one union session. So just to give you an overview, I will be sending out, and I know some of you have already started to advertise your individual sessions, which is great because it'll be easier for you to get people if they can sign a C1, but I will send out the list of the complete list of climate literacy sessions. We have one focused on K-12, one on higher ed, one on informal ed, one on place-based, impacts of place-based education. We have one on research and evaluation. We have one on misconceptions and barriers. We have one on effective partnerships and networks, one on the culture of science, one on building bridges between scientists and educators, one on citizen science, and one on I'll read the title of this one, Climate Education and Outreach Utilizing Ocean Observations. This one was an add-on. When I went to the AGU Fall Planning Committee meeting, there was a session that started Climate Literacy : that I did not recognize. So I contacted them and I said, well, would you be interested in joining this group? And you'll have it advertised. It's a little bit more specialized than the others, and if it doesn't get enough abstracts, then we'll find a way to combine them. But, so it's interesting being able to find new partners just by seeing all of the sessions. We had about, so that was 11 sessions, and then the union session is on the collective impact effort. And then we will also have a workshop that will also, and I think the way this is going to run this time is that the union session will be about collective impact, and then the workshop will be after that, will be basically to jump off from what we've learned about effective collective impact efforts and try to sort of articulate what might be the components of a member network. We've talked before about along in the past about what the components might be or the services might be of an overarching network. But what might make, what are the components needed for an effective member network? And we're still articulating that in a little bit. That's the way, so we'll get input from all of you who I hope, if you're there, will participate in that workshop. So that's what's going on with AGU.
Right.
So any other thoughts? We're still looking to fill our fall schedule with speakers. We do have lots of ideas, and we've reached out to some people, but right now we don't have too many scheduled, and so I'd like to start filling out.
Yeah. Tamara, I think NCSC could do one, if not two, in the fall. One is, I think I mentioned before, my colleague Emily is launching these science booster clubs, which address climate change and a bunch of other issues, too. So I think folks in the community might have some really good insight for her as she moves forward with those. So it would be really great to hear people's feedback on it. And then something else, I'm not sure whether or not we could talk about it in the fall or if we have to wait for the spring, but I'm sure Mark mentioned this to you before he left, but we launched a nationwide survey of science teachers to find out how they're teaching climate change and if they're teaching climate change, and we actually have the results back now, and we're putting it towards publication. So once that's kind of finalized and out, either myself or my colleague Josh could come on and talk about what our findings were on that too.
Well, that would be great. And so, Minda, what would be helpful is if you identify tentative dates and we put just a name and a tentative title so we can, so we kind of know where we are with respect to where we are with respect to filling the schedule. One of the things I want to try to avoid this year, I don't know if you noticed the schedule, but we ended up having a speaker every single Tuesday in March, and not very many at all in May. So we'd like to distribute them. So you can do one. It sounds like the Science Booster Clubs might be good in the fall because she's wanting input.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Great.
So send her an email, have her contact us. And the dates, I mean, it's every Tuesday. You know when it is. It's every Tuesday.
Yeah.
So just have but you can look and see which ones. I think September 8th is taken. I think that's it for the fall.
Oh, good.
So,
okay. Yeah. All right. I'll coordinate with her the time to come in and give that. That'd be super.
All right, great. As an aside, because I remembered that what September 8th is, September 8th is Juliet is going to be doing one of her webinars about the World Climate Game. And they're having actually one. I'm going to participate in one tomorrow. And I think they're doing four of these. And this is, I think, the second one on the schedule. But if people are interested, they can look up, you can contact Juliet and find out the dates of the other ones if people are interested in participating. It basically is an opportunity for people to really participate in a mini version of the World Climate Game so that they get a sense of what it's like.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. Any other comments, questions, issues? Okay, well then, Minda, I'll plan on hearing from you about these two times and
sure.
with tentative titles and names. And okay. we'll talk again next week.
Great.
All right.
That's great. All right. Have a great week, guys. Bye.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. Bye.